can bring about a change.
Oh, what a change. Oh, what a change. Oh, what a change in my life. Come on. Oh, what a change. Oh, what a change. Oh, what a change in my life. Something on the inside, working on the outside. He brought about a change in my life. Something on the inside, working on the outside, brought about a change in my life. Oh, what a change. Oh, what a change. Oh, what a change. Oh, what a change in my life. Oh, what a change. Oh, what a change. Oh, what a change in my life. Jesus. Jesus on the inside, he's working on the outside, brought about a change in my life. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside, brought about a change in my life. One more time. Oh, what a change. Oh, what a change. Oh, what a change. Oh, what a change in my life. Oh, what a change. Oh, what a change. Jesus is the change in my life. Praise the Lord. Jesus could bring about a change. Jesus wants to bring about a change. Jesus will bring about a change in our lives. You know, I preached this in Trinidad. I changed it up a little bit. But I want to preach it here too. So, if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. You know, I don't watch as much movies as I used to, but every now and then I would watch a movie and the doorbell would ring. And the person would come and look at the peephole, you know, the little peephole. And they would see nothing, but yet they would open the door. And once they open the door, it's trouble. You know, and it never fails. Every time you watch those kind of movies, ding dong, they come and they peep out. They see nothing and they're secure in their house. But what they'll do is open the door. And soon as they open the door, trouble. Trouble, trouble, trouble. Now, Adam knew Eve, his wife, verse 1. And she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was the keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. And in course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of the flock and of the fat portion. And the Lord had regards for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. And the Lord said, why are you angry? And why have your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. and its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Now that sin is crouching at the door. I looked it up in many translations. They translate that word the same way, crouching. Now, I thought about it, and I thought when something is crouching in you, it's kind of down low. And what most of the time, it's a predator looking at its prey. And what it wants to do, it's down low, and it wants to get you. Here's this. Sin comes knocking. Do you all know that? Who is it? Pornography. Who is it? Adultery. Who is it? Fornication. Who is it? Lying. Stealing. Don't give back anything to the Lord. You don't have enough. Don't go and assemble with the believers. Deceive them. Do anything you want to get to the top. Sin is crouching at the door. And when he knocks, you don't really see him. You know that? You could look through that glass all you want. You don't see him because he is out to deceive you. And he is waiting for you to open the door. Do you know that? I want to give you a few points about sin. Now, when you go to Trinidad, they used to always love George's message because George's message always have the 3 D's, the 3 C's, the 3 B's, the 3 Z's. I wasn't like that. But this morning, I'll give you some C's. How about that? Sin will cut you off from God. First C, sin will cut you off from God. Listen to me carefully. Sin will cut you off from God. It's going to separate you from God. You go get cut off. You know, if you go to some cultures and they come to Christ, the parents cut them off. You know that? Cut them off. Well, sin will cut you off from Christ. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 13, Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground and from your face." You ever notice that when you answer the door to sin and sin comes and grabs you because sin's desire is to have you, what happens? You don't want to go to God. Sin kind of comes in and sin put a separation between you and your God. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 tells us, "But your iniquities has made a separation between you and your God. And your sin has hidden his face from you so that he does not hear you." Folks, as you are in Christ, if you are a follower of Christ, ever so often, more often than we would like it, sin will come knocking. I read a devotions the other day. It says that we should know where we live. And we are always in a war. That's what the devotion said. Some of us don't realize where we live. We live in a world where the enemy's desire is to have you. That's his desire. And guess what? He is not going to come and all of a sudden just put it in your face. He's going to be nice. He's going to wait. He's going to knock. He's going to hide. And you're going to put your head outside that door trying to see who came knocking. And he's going to pounce on you. And he's going to try his best to separate you from your God. Sin is going to cut you off from God. Second, sin can cancel your assignment. Sin can cancel your assignment. 1 Samuel chapter 13. And verse 12. Here Saul, he says, I said, now the Philistine will come down against me at Gilgad, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering. I hope you all get it. So I forced myself to offer the burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God with which he has commanded you. For then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people because you have not kept the commandment of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Has the Lord a great delight in burnt offering and sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Sin can cancel your assignment. Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord, and pardon my sin and return to me that I may bow before the Lord. And Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. Now, some people will tell you that when Saul became king, he was approved. Do you know that? Even though he was the choice of the people, he was approved. He was anointed king. All he had to do was to follow the instructions of God. Do you know that? All he had to do is to walk in the commandments of the Lord. That's it. But he decided to sin. Let's call it what it is. What did he do first of all? He said, because I feared the people. He said, I was forced to do the sacrifice. We could come up with all the excuses we want to sin. But sin is sin. I went outside my marriage because my wife. I went outside my marriage because of my husband. I lied because I'm fearful. We could find all the excuses we want, but sin is sin, and sin can cancel your assignment. I wouldn't think of a better position to make the most money you can make. Have all the servants you want. And back then, have all the wives you want. Listen, Solomon had it good. Not Solomon's. Saul had it good. But yet, in his great position as king, he could not obey God. And because of sin, his assignment was canceled. Sin can cancel your assignment. Three. Sin would cloud your judgment and corrupt your heart. I give you two C's in that one point. So that's four C's now. It would cloud your judgment and corrupt your heart. Let's see where we could find an example of that. 2 Samuel chapter 11. And verse 1. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rahab, whatever that is, praise the Lord. But David remained in Jerusalem. And what happened? Now, if you are a follower of Christ and you don't know this story, you need to fall on your face before God. He went up on the roof. You know what we do? We get a little bored and we go find something to do. We get bored. We don't know what to do. We're supposed to be fighting. We're supposed to be working. We're supposed to be keeping ourselves active, doing the things that God called us to do. We get a little bit sidetracked. We go up on the roof. We look down, and there she is. My, my, my. I never seen a woman that fine. Boy, she have all the curves in the right places. I wonder who she is. She is your best friend's wife. Wait. That should have thrown up a red flag right there. But sin clouds your judgment. He knew it wasn't his. He could have gone out. David could have gone out and find any young, beautiful virgin and make them his wife. Do you know that? If he had desire to have a fresh woman, he could have just gone out and had the pick of the crop. But yet he looks out and he sees a beautiful woman and he knows thou shalt not touch. But yet sin clouded his judgment and he went on with it anyway. How many of us today, we have sin clouding our judgment? We let desire take the place of holiness and righteousness. And sin will corrupt your heart. Verse 14. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. In the letter he wrote, set Uriah in the forefront of the hardest fighting, and then draw back from him that he may be struck down and died. Sin can corrupt your heart. You see how sin is? George preached a sermon one time. It says, sin will take you further than you want to go. It started out with clouded judgment. And instead of he repented then, he decided to, not a C, cover up. Because his heart had gotten corrupted by sin. Now, how can a man that at a young age was fighting a bear with his bare hands. A boy who was taking care of sheep and he was protecting them, praising God with his harp. He was a man that when Goliath stand in front of him, he knew how to take up that slingshot and believe in God and see the lion defeated. How can that man come to this point? Because sin can corrupt your heart. Some of us this morning is sitting right here and our heart is corrupted with sin. We start off so good. We start off loving God. We knew what it meant to love God. We get filled with the Holy Spirit. We speak in tongues. We praise God in a beautiful way. We teach Sunday school and sing in the choir. We teach Bible study, but yet we are living a life where our heart is corrupted. You see, back then, the prophet came to David and confronted him. You have in you the Holy Spirit that is confronting you on a daily basis and you're doing nothing about it. Sin can cloud your judgment and corrupt your heart. How can a man who has experienced God in such a way get to the place where David was? But God said to David before this, I have found a man after my heart. I want you to tell you this, Jesus got you covered. Do you know that? Jesus got you covered. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. Revelation 3 and verse 14. And the angel of the church of Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich and I have prospered and I need nothing, nor realizing that you are wretched, pitiable. Pitiable, did I pronounce that? Poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by the fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. And self to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those who I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, here's the difference. When Jesus comes knocking, you're going to know it's him. When you look out that peephole, Jesus is going to be standing right there. Jesus is not going to be hiding. Jesus is going to be right there. When sin comes knocking, you don't see him. But when Jesus comes knocking, you know it's Jesus, because he is going to show himself. He is going to be standing there. And he said, if you would open the door, if anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Jesus got you covered. It doesn't matter where you are today. It doesn't matter how much you have sinned to this point. It doesn't matter that your heart has gotten corrupted. Jesus this morning is knocking. And he says, if you hear his voice and you open up, he will come in. Now, we use this scripture a lot of times to win lost people. This scripture is not talking to lost people at all. It's talking to you and I. It's speaking to Christians. It's speaking to those that have decided to follow Jesus. Because sometimes along our way, we allow cloudiness and corruption to come into our hearts due to sin. And Jesus says, when I see that's happening, I will knock at your door. And when you see me and you open up, I will come in. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I praise God for that today. I like that word, all. But in this little passage here, it says, he don't want you to be lukewarm. I believe that, I was thinking, I said, God, what's the difference in a cold Christian and a hot Christian and a lukewarm Christian? What is the difference? I don't know. Do you all know? What is the difference between a cold Christian? And I believe, this is my belief, Now, I didn't see any interpretation here, but I'm telling you what I believe. I believe a cold Christian is the one whose sin can put you into a couldn't care less attitude. That's the other C. Couldn't care less. Are you in that place where you couldn't care less? You are a cold Christian. When you sin and because you feel there's no more hope for you, you could care less, you are in a lukewarm situation. Lukewarm is, you're not hot. You know what a hot person is? You know, I'll tell you this. I could drink my coffee hot. I could drink my coffee lukewarm. And I could drink my coffee cold. Some people can't do that. But I can do that, but I'm not the Lord. If I was the Lord, soon as my coffee got lukewarm, I wonder how many of you right now are in a lukewarm stage, and all God can do is spit you out of his mouth. What is lukewarmness? Lukewarmness is where you're in a couldn't care less stage. We preach, we say you need to forgive, but you're still holding on to that unforgiveness, but you say you're following Christ. You're lukewarm. Why? You're not cold because you don't have any, when you're cold, you really don't have a lot of understanding. If you're only drinking cold coffee, you never had it hot. I could tell you that right now. You don't have any understanding, so you just like it cold. But if you ever was to drink it hot, you probably would never want it cold. You're different from me. I'll drink it anyhow. Lukewarm is where you know what is right. You know what you're supposed to do. But you got in a state where you could care less. Because guess what? God is loving. When I get there, I just say the blood covers me. You know, we have that attitude in the church. We have this attitude that God is so much love and there is no wrath in him. But I want you to know there is wrath, because when he spew you out, you're not going to be with the followers of Christ. You're going to be with the follower of the other one. How many of you are sitting here this morning? And this is a serious question. That you have sit and listened to the word of God time and time again. Not even that. You may do devotions on a regular basis. I mean, you open up the Word of God. You read in 3 or 4 chapters a day. You could tell people where to find, what to find. You could read the Word better than I can. But yet you're living a life that you could care less if you're pleasing God or not. You are in a lukewarm situation. But God got you covered. He's knocking. And he said, if you hear his voice, you know what it tells me? He doesn't only knock. He doesn't even knock. He also asks, he ever knock and say, who is it? Well, if you don't have a peephole and somebody knock, you don't just open the door, do you? I hope not. The first thing I'm going to say is, who is it? And if you were a follower of Christ, you would recognize his voice. Because he says, my sheep know my voice. And when you hear his voice, you're going to open up and let him in. Because you no longer want to be in that careless situation. You want to be hot for Jesus. That was my last point. So here's my question for you this morning. Are you ready to give sin up? Are you ready to give sin up and live as one that is hot for Jesus? You see, because I see that cold Christian as the one who just begin their journey. They just begin their journey for Christ. They may sin, but they have no understanding and they don't really know and they don't feel really bad. But as they grow in Christ, they want to put those things aside as they grow in Christ. But you have been growing in Christ, but yet don't want to put those things aside. You're lukewarm. But God is saying to us this morning, we have to lay them aside. Because He cannot tolerate lukewarmness. So as we close our eyes today, I want you to reflect on what kind of believer you are this morning. And I want you to ask God to reveal to you your heart so that we can get to the place where we take care of the most important thing in our lives, the destiny of our soul. Father Jesus. Jesus. You may be here today and you never ever really became a follower of Christ. Today also can be your beginning. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For you that is reflecting on your life and you see things in your life that God is saying you need to take care of, and if they've been there for a while, he's saying this morning, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive you of all your sins. Father, as we come to you this morning, as we reflect on our lives, God, we want to thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross, first and foremost, to give us life and give us that life more abundantly. So, Lord God, we ask, oh God, if there's anyone here that has not put their full trust and have never decided to follow you wholeheartedly, that they will do so this morning. And Father, those of us who have trusted you for a long time, Lord, some of us began our journey 30, 40 years ago. But yet, Lord, as we look at our lives, we see that we have gotten lukewarm. When we look back, God, some of us have slain giants. Some of us have conquered many big things. In my life, Lord God, I see you take me through school and paid my way all the way through college. And sometimes, God, when we get to a certain place in our lives, we get lukewarm. But Father, this morning we want to buy gold refined in the fire. And we want to get that garment that is white as snow. So Father, we want to lay down our sins and ask you, Lord God, to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us, O God, from all unrighteousness. Purge us, and we can be clean. Wash us, O God, and we shall be white as snow. Father, we ask you, O God, to do a work in our lives today. Do a work, O God. One thing, Lord, we learn from David, that you can create in us a clean heart. Father, we pray with David today. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins. For I know my transgressions and my sins are ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward part. And you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I will give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in right sacrifice, in burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know one thing I love about the Lord? I love that he's always there. He's always there. The difference is your heart. The difference between Saul and David was a heart for God. In David's time of cloudiness and corruptness of heart, he still knew the only place to go is to God. And I pray that you all will know that the only place you can run to in any situation is God, because we want to always do the will of the Father. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we want to thank the Greens, Willie and Linda. All right, Willie and Linda, thank you all for coming. It's a pleasure for having you all. And we hope you come back at any time. You're welcome to come back and worship with us. If I understand you, you were a pastor at one time. Oh, still a pastor. Well, that's what I understood. But you travel a lot.
I'm not traveling.
Not traveling, okay. Well, I was just getting information, and I was just trying to recall all the information. Well, remember next week, what is happening next week? Fellowship Sunday. Fellowship Sunday is next week, but there's a difference. The difference is we're not going to be sharing, because we're going to have Doug and Chris coming to share to us about their missionary work. So come to listen. Bring an extra dollar. We don't take offering. The box is in the back. So bring an extra dollar, because at the end I will take an offering for Doug and Chris. So make plans to do so. Now, here's the thing. That is not part of your tithe. Did you hear me?